This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
All right, so the question, of course, is, are you ready to cry? Because there's a moment today in the Oval Office that just happened that somebody put it, who's cutting onions? Because it's a real tearjerker. We're going to play it for you in just a moment. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. But I got to begin with a despicable ruling by the United States Supreme Court today. And I mean, it's really remarkable how they can make this ruling. But I also wanted to share with you that there's some really positive data on the speech reaction today by the president. Really positive. I mean, just all across the way, he's getting tremendous praise from even people who said that they are independents and even Democrat voters, too. Very positive remarks. Democrats, meanwhile, incredibly negative across the board for their behavior last night. So I'm not surprised by that, given how they acted and how they reacted and just the absolute way that they just, acted like fools, really, really fools. But let me begin with the United States Supreme Court today, because I think it was Justice Alito and his dissent. He was stunned by his dissent today, stunned by the court's ruling, I should say. And Katie Pavlich, writing for this at Town Hall, the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 today to uphold the lower court ruling forcing the Trump administration to reinstate billions of dollars in foreign aid. The move left Justice Samuel Alito stunned. You know, you think about last night at the speech, right? You got the party of insanity. You got a crazy man waving his cane, has to get booted out of the room. You got Democrats refusing to clap for a kid with cancer, a woman who was bullied, family members who lost their loved ones. I mean, the people signing up for the military, our police. You know, I had a friend of mine in the Philly PD text me earlier and say he was really happy to hear the president talk about law enforcement last night and our cops and having their backs. And yeah, you know what? The Democrats wouldn't even clap for them. And then holding up their dumb signs, which turn into memes that people were mocking all along. I gotta give Dana Perino major credit. She cracked me up last night. She tweeted out an X that at some point one of the Democrats are going to hold up a sign that just says "Uncle." like Uncle, when you have your arm behind your back, you go, "Uncle, Uncle." But it was an S show for the Democrats. It's going to haunt them for a long time. But like I said earlier, they're the party of crazy, and you can't fix crazy. There's just no fixing crazy. Bottom line, there's no fixing crazy. But let's talk about the Supreme Court ruling for a moment. This is what Justice Alito said in his dissent today. He said, "Does a single district court judge who likely lacks jurisdiction have the unchecked power to compel the government of the United States to pay out and probably lose forever $2 billion taxpayer dollars? The answer to that question should be an emphatic no. But a majority of this court apparently thinks otherwise. I am stunned," he wrote in his dissent, joined by Justices Brett Kavanaugh, Neil Gorsuch, and Clarence Thomas. Said, "Today the court makes a most unfortunate misstep that rewards an act of judicial hubris and imposes a $2 billion penalty on American taxpayers. The district court has made plain its frustration with the government, and respondents raise serious concerns about non-payment for completed work. But the relief ordered is quite simply too extreme a response. A federal court has many tools to address a party's supposed nonfeasance. Self-aggrandizement of its jurisdiction is not one of them. I would chart a different path than the court does today, so I must respectfully dissent," the justice said. Of course, during last night, before Congress, the president talked about DOGE. He talked about all the waste, fraud, and abuse, and he talked about going after it. He said $40 million to improve the social and economic inclusion of sedentary migrants. Nobody even knows what that is. $8 million to promote LGBTQ plus AI in the African nation of Lesotho, which nobody's even heard of. These are just some of the things the president rattled off last night. And he's trying to save the taxpayers' money. So then you have this district court judge who stands in the way. And I think just blatantly exceeds his authority on this. There's no other way to put it. I don't know how you can see it any other way. And this is the judicial tyranny we've talked about in this country for a very, very long time. A very long time. In fact, you know what? Let me play you the clip of the president last night from his speech. And thank you for joining us if you are. We are streaming live on YouTube right now. President talking about everything he's trying to do with executive orders, doing everything he possibly can to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse, to go after all this. Congress needs to do its job. Congress needs to step up. There's only so much he can do as president, but he's certainly trying. He's certainly trying here. Cut number three.
Over the past 6 weeks, I have signed nearly 100 executive orders and taken more than 400 executive actions, a record, to restore common sense, safety, optimism, and wealth all across our wonderful land. The people elected me to do the job, and I'm doing it. In fact, it has been stated by many that the first month of our presidency, it's our presidency, is the most successful in the history of our nation. By many.
Let's jump ahead let's do this. Let's jump over to this listing some of the waste, the fraud, the abuse, identifying all of this. And there's a lot of it. And there's a lot of it. And this is what he's trying to rein in. And this is why the Supreme Court today saying to the president, no, you have to go ahead and spend $2 billion. And disgraceful that Amy Coney Barrett joined in with the majority today. I'm not surprised by John Roberts. Like I said, that guy's been a complete sellout for a long time. But it was a very strong dissent by Justice Alito, joined by Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Justice Thomas. But a 5-4 ruling. And Amy Coney Barrett lost her way again, just like she did on the free speech case. Just like she did in not taking the side of freedom of speech. Just like she did when she protected the government from weaponizing social media, threatening social media companies to silence the American people. And Amy Coney Barrett gave them a pass on that. So I'm absolutely disappointed by this. Absolutely. It's outrageous. It really is. But here's the president listing some of the waste, fraud, and abuse. Cut number 10.
Just listen to some of the appalling waste we have already identified. $22 billion. From HHS to provide free housing and cars for illegal aliens. $45 million for diversity, equity, and inclusion scholarships in Burma. $40 million to improve the social and economic inclusion of sedentary migrants. Nobody knows what that is.
Sedentary migrants.
$8 million to promote LGBTQI+. In the African nation of Lesotho, which nobody has ever heard of. $60 million for indigenous peoples and Afro-Colombian empowerment in Central America. $60 million. $8 million for making mice transgender.
It's true. That's true.
This is real. $32 million for a left-wing propaganda operation in Moldova. $10 million for male circumcision in Mozambique. $20 million for the Arab Sesame Street in the Middle East. It's a program. $20 million for a program. $1.9 billion to recently created Decarbonization of Homes Committee, headed up, and we know she's involved. Just at the last moment, the money was passed over by a woman named Stacey Abrams. Have you ever heard of her? A $3.5 million consulting contract for Lavish Fish monitoring, $1.5 million for voter confidence in Liberia, $14 million for social cohesion in Mali, $59 million for illegal alien hotel rooms in New York City. He's a real estate developer. He's done very well. $250,000 to increase vegan local climate action innovation in Zambia. $42 million for social and behavior change in Uganda. $14 million for improving public procurement in Serbia. $47 million for improving learning outcomes in Asia. Asia's doing very well with learning. You know what we're doing. We should use it ourselves. And $101 million for DEI contracts at the Department of Education. The most ever paid, nothing even like it. Under the Trump administration, all of these scams, and they're far worse, but I didn't think it was appropriate to talk about them. They're so bad. Many more have been found out and exposed and swiftly terminated by a group of very intelligent, mostly young people, headed up by Elon, and we appreciate it. We found hundreds of billions of dollars of fraud.
And we're going to find more fraud, by the way. There's going to be a lot more fraud. They're just beginning with all this. So what does this mean for you? I mean, what does this mean for you is the question. And this is what makes me happy in our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where, yes, it's almost summer. I mean, I know it's March, but hey, before you know it, Memorial Day is going to be here. We're talking about, what, 2.5 months? So time for you to make your summer plans by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. What does all this mean? You slash fraud, waste, abuse, you transgender lab rats, so what, right? So what? What does any of this mean? It means a lot. It means you save money. And that's what it comes down to. And the goal here, and just so you know, and again, Democrats didn't clap for this either, but the last time we had a balanced federal budget 24 years ago, the time before that was when Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich were able to have a balanced federal budget. So you had a Democrat president balance the budget, but Democrats won't clap for that either. They refuse. They refuse to do that. So here's Trump talking about that last night, the president, slashing all this stuff. Yes, it does matter. Cut number 12.
By slashing all of the fraud, waste, and theft we can find, we will defeat inflation, bring down mortgage rates, lower car payments and grocery prices, protect our seniors, and put more money in the pockets of American families. And today, interest rates took a beautiful drop, big, beautiful drop. It's about time. And in the near future, I want to do what has not been done in 24 years, balance the federal budget. We're going to balance it.
Good. Good. That's got to make you happy. It should make you happy. It makes me happy. That's what we should have. We should have a balanced federal budget. Absolutely. All right. Now, this was the coolest moment of the night by far. 13-year-old DJ Daniel, who's been diagnosed with brain cancer and given 5 months to live. And that was 6 years ago. All right. Now, this is the moment, but it's not even, you know, it was emotional. But then we have another clip for you because turns out he went to the Oval Office today. I met with the president. So I'm just going to give you a little tearjerker warning, okay? Tearjerker warning, and then I also got to get into the fireworks that erupted on Capitol Hill today over sanctuary cities. But I just want to remind you, the lunatics on the left didn't even clap or stand for a 13-year-old boy who wants to be a cop, a 13-year-old boy diagnosed with brain cancer, terminal brain cancer. They didn't clap for him. They didn't stand for him. That's how much they hate Trump. That's their Trump derangement syndrome. And then I'm going to remind you about what Nicole Wallace said, because it was so freaking vile and disgusting. But here's cut 18.
Joining us in the gallery tonight is a young man who truly loves our police. His name is DJ Daniel. He is 13 years old, and he has always dreamed of becoming a police officer.
Look at that kid's face, right? Amazing stuff.
But in 2018, DJ was diagnosed with brain cancer. The doctors gave him 5 months at most to live. That was more than 6 years ago. Since that time, DJ and his dad have been on a quest to make his dream come true, and DJ has been sworn in as an honorary law enforcement officer, actually a number of times. Peace. The police love him. The police departments love him. And tonight, DJ, we're going to do you the biggest honor of them all. I am asking our new Secret Service Director, Sean Curran, to officially make you an agent of the United States Secret Service.
I'm not crying. You're crying. The Democrats refused to stand. In fact, many of them rolled their eyes. You can see Democrats literally rolling their eyes. Let me tell you something. Thank you. We can jump out of this. Is it a stunt? Sure. Of course. So what? Like, my son's 10. I'd love for him to be inspired by that. I think it's fantastic. You know, telling real stories of Americans and especially when it comes to kids. And then it's inspirational. I don't know. There's just a lot of power to it. It was a very touching moment to me. And I can't believe the cruelty and the lack of humanity and the fact that Nicole Wallace starts to acknowledge that she was touched by this and then proceeds down the sicko lane of saying that she hopes that he doesn't kill himself one day, like six Capitol Police officers, who, by the way, that's a lie in and of itself. But I'm actually not going to play her vileness again. I played it earlier in the show, but sick and vile, and that's what she said. I'll play you something happy, because today that young man was invited to the Oval Office where he gave President Trump a hug. And I don't know if he's ready on duty, because he's a Secret Service officer already, Secret Service agent. So I don't know if he's ready on duty or not, if today was day one. But he and his dad got to go to the Oval Office, and this is the scene.
What a good-looking family, huh?
There's one more thing I got for you, a big hug.
Okay, good. That's very nice. Look at that family you got, huh?
Yes, sir.
Very nice. How are you? Nice to see you. Nice to see you. That was a big evening last night, right?
Yes, it was.
That was a big evening.
It was a big evening. It was very sweet. I saw that kid today on Fox and Friends, and he was saying how he had a hat to give the president, but he didn't know if he was going to be able to give it to him. And he gave it to him today. So there you go. That's really, really good. But not even Elizabeth Warren clapped for him. No, not even Pocahontas. Cut 28.
Of dollars to support Ukraine's defense with no security, with no anything. Do you want to keep it going for another 5 years? Yeah. You would say Pocahontas says yes.
Yeah, because she's clapping. Elizabeth Warren's clapping for Ukraine, for the war to go on for another. Yeah. She wants to keep it going. It's also the same woman, though, don't forget, during Bobby Kennedy's hearing, her and Bernie Sanders, the two of them, were out there shilling for Big Pharma. So let's not forget that. All right. Let's not forget that. Turning our attention right now to a couple other things I got to get to from. It's been a busy, busy day. But I just wanted to mention, too, that kid, that young man, that little boy. I mean, it's just like 3 years older than my son. And God, you know, however, I get emotional. However much time he has left on this earth, he'll never forget that moment. His dad will never forget that moment. It'll be inspiring to other kids. And sick and twisted that you would have Nicole Wallace. She can't help herself. That she's that demented. She's got to bring up January 6th. She just can't give herself the ability to feel joy for a moment because of Donald Trump. Disgusting. And that little boy, by the way, was harassed and made fun of last year for his police outfit. I'm going to play this video for you. Colin Rugg posted this earlier on social media. And it's really more visual, but I'll describe it for you if you're not watching us on the YouTube chat, which, by the way, you should, because it's a lot of fun. People are commenting along. But this little boy was harassed by a group of, I don't know, teenagers. Really sick stuff here, but take a watch. Go ahead. That is...
baby, you got arrested for you too, cocky.
For real.
Sir.
Mocking the kid.
And tonight, DJ, we're going to do you the biggest honor of them all. I am asking.
Yeah, twerking in front of him. All right, thank you. That's good. So, I mean, that's what I mean. That's so for this little boy, it was really important. The other big stunt you had last night, of course, were all the pink ladies, all the pink suits. So the very same people that voted, all of them, all the Democrat senators, not a single one of them voted to protect women in girls' sports. Okay, not one of them. Well, they all wore their little pink jackets. Well, Peyton McNabb, who is one of the stars of the show, fighting for the rights of women to be able to play sports, she talked about this. Cut 35.
I wonder where they think they are with the American public on this issue. You'll see them in the audience, as you saw firsthand. These Democrats, Congresswomen, who showed up in pink specifically to protest President Trump's policies on women. As this is happening, we've got new polling from the New York Times on biological males in women's sports. And Peyton, when asked about thinking about transgender female athletes, meaning athletes who were born male and then choose to be female and participate in women's sports, only 18% think that should be allowed. Nearly 80% of respondents say that should not be allowed. So why do they think, Democrats, think that they're speaking for the people on this issue by protesting fairness in women's sports?
Once again, the Democrats have proven how out of touch they really are. I mean, like you said, 80% of the country agrees with this across all party lines. So for them to be willing to die on this hill just to push this agenda is absurd. And last night, I thought that the pink suits and everyone matching was real cute when, of course, the day before, zero Democrats voted for the protection of women and girls. And then zero Democrats stood and applauded when I was getting recognized for my injury, because like Raleigh said, I mean, they couldn't be more anti-woman, and frankly, they are anti-American. They really embarrassed themselves all night, and it was honestly sad to see, but I wish I could say I'm surprised, but I'm not.
And she's, you know, she got a bio dude who seriously injured her, as the president mentioned in his speech last night. But Democrats are frauds when it comes to protecting women. And then, of course, there was that moment last night that also was very, very touching. Jason Hartley, high school senior, chopping onions. It's all allergies, rough stuff. Allergies are brutal this time of year. Am I right? Huh? Cut number 20.
We're joined tonight by a young man, Jason Hartley, who knows the weight of that call of duty. Jason's father, grandfather, and great-grandfather all wore the uniform. Jason tragically lost his dad, who was also a Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy when he was just a boy, and now he wants to carry on the family legacy of service. Jason is a senior in high school, a six-letter varsity athlete, a really good athlete, they say, a brilliant student with a 4.46, that's good, GPA. And his greatest dream is to attend the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. Yeah. And Jason, that's a very big deal getting in. That's a hard one to get into. But I'm pleased to inform you that your application has been accepted. You will soon be joining the Corps of Cadets.
That's right. Look at that. Again, I'm not crying. You're crying. Okay. All right. When we come back, Democrats with their nonsense with sanctuary cities. I'm going to share all that with you today. There's some fireworks on Capitol Hill. Got a lot more to get to. But listen, you got to always have a great smile in life. And there's lots to smile about, isn't there? Lots to smile about as we begin. Spring is almost here on Saturday. You know, we're going to spring forward and more daylight. We got the Lenten season underway, got the ashes, so get a great smile. Go see my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, today for your beautiful smile. Mama Zioli, like I said, it's their anniversary today. Happy anniversary to Mama Zioli and Papa Zioli. They're both patients of Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike's the man, and he's going to give you the smile of your dreams. His expertise is in complicated dental implants. This is complicated stuff. You don't want to go to just any dentist. You want to go to the best. You want to go to my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, Dr. Mike will give you the smile you've always hoped for. So my question to you is, what are you waiting for? Reach out to him today and book your free implant consultation. He's a great guy with a great office, great staff, great music playing in the background. Everybody there dedicated to your health, your smile. And the best part about Dr. Mike, I think, is that he treats his patients with such care and expertise, it's worth a trip. You know what I mean? Like, people might say to me, Zioli, I live in PA. Why would I go to Jersey for a dentist? Because it's worth it, because he's the best. So if you've had an estimate for complicated dental work or implants, get a second opinion with Dr. Mike Veneria. And the whole Zioli family goes there. That's right. I'm a patient. Bridget's a patient. Patrick, Claire, and Reagan are patients, too. Just go to VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, my buddy, my friend, and the master of dental implants, who for 10 years in a row has been recognized among his peers as a master of implant dentistry. Other doctors send their patients to Dr. Mike. VeneriaDental.com, VeneriaDental.com.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All righty. So, a lot to chat about. Sanctuary. You know, Philadelphia is technically a sanctuary city. The good news, though, is that we don't have that moron Jim Kenney as mayor anymore. And he danced in the hallway and jumped up and down and yelled, you know, we are a sanctuary city, yeah, and high-fived the chief of staff. But luckily, Sherelle Parker's been, as far as I know, been kind of flying under the radar with that. But other mayors, not so much. And, like, for example, the mayor of Chicago, who's a lunatic, and the mayor of Boston, who's a whack job, and the mayor of Denver, who's crazy, and the mayor of another city who was there today, too. They're all in on this sanctuary city stuff. Again, this is another example of what I mean by the Democrats are never going to be a majority party because they don't understand that people do not want illegal immigrants who are criminals on their streets. They don't want it. They just simply don't want this. And that's the reality. They want criminals off their streets in every neighborhood, in every area. Bottom line, that's it. They do not want criminals roaming their streets. And when you've got these sanctuary city mayors who are turning around and they're justifying their policies, justifying having illegal immigrants who are criminals wanted by the federal government, who could be deported, it's damn shameful. So I mentioned to you that today's one of those days is going to be very audio heavy, and we have a lot of it for you from the hearing. So here's Congresswoman Lauren Boebert going after Denver Mayor Mike Johnson over city ordinance in Denver that bans city employees from speaking with immigration officials. In fact, the ordinance could actually get them fired if they talk to immigration officials. Cut 33.
In 2017, Denver passed an ordinance that ensured
any city employee who spoke with federal immigration authorities would be fired, among other policies that have led to local and national media outlets to call Denver a sanctuary city. So now let me ask you, would a city employee be fired for communicating with anyone from the EPA?
Right now, Congresswoman, our policy is we don't ask people's status.
Would any city employee be fired for communicating, coordinating, talking with an agent from the EPA, a federal employee?
Not to my knowledge, Congresswoman.
What about Health and Human Services? Would they get fired for talking with someone from Health and Human Services?
Not to my knowledge, Congresswoman.
So they would only be
fired
for
talking
to federal law enforcement officers?
No, that's incorrect, Congresswoman. Our city employees do,
Denver in fact, passed in 2017, Mr. Mayor.
Our city employees do, in fact, communicate with ICE. We do coordinate on multiple things with ICE. For instance, if there is a violent criminal warrant in the city, we
do
that
we're talking
together.
Before the warrants, Mr. Mayor. There are issues happening before warrants are issued, and local law enforcement officers are unable to coordinate because there is no warrant. And your ordinance says that a city employee would be fired for communicating with federal law enforcement. So you've been mayor for 600 days. Have you ever called for that ordinance to be repealed?
We are not unable to coordinate with ICE right now. We're in communication with ICE right now.
Only if there is a warrant. But I'm talking prior to the warrant.
We wouldn't have a reason to coordinate.
Because you don't know if they're illegal, because you are unable to coordinate until there is a warrant. So that's why this ordinance needs to be repealed.
So if a Denver employee calls the EPA and is like, hey, is there an issue with this, blah, 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 they're fine. If they were to call ICE and be like, I think this person might be Trende Aragua, I think they might be gang members based on whatever probable cause they have to believe that. Gang signs, guy can't speak English, and he's, or literally tells them he's Trende Aragua. They would get fired if they were to call ICE and speak to ICE about that. That's the bottom line. Cut through the BS, Mayor. That's the bottom line. But hey, look, I'll give the Denver mayor credit, because at least if there's a warrant, they'll cooperate. Some cities won't even do that. Like in Chicago, where Mayor Brandon Johnson won't hand over illegal immigrants in the city to ICE. They just won't do it. Cut 34.
Mayor Johnson, under Chicago law, would you turn this criminal over to ICE on a detainer?
Our local law enforcement works hard every day to get criminals off the streets of Chicago.
Would you turn that criminal over to ICE? That's the problem. That's one of the topics of this conversation. That's one of the problems we've heard from Tom Homan and from the Homeland Security, is that in your cities, when someone's apprehended for a crime, and ICE is now with this new federal policy wanting to come in and deport the criminal alien, that you will not cooperate with ICE. Will you turn that criminal over to ICE?
And we do not harbor criminals. Our local police department works hard every single day to ensure that the city of Chicago is
safe. Yes or no? Will you turn the criminal over to ICE?
With a criminal warrant from the federal government, our local law enforcement repeats.
So the issue of sanctuary cities literally means that if ICE has a detainer request, okay, a detainer request, they won't go along with it unless there is an actual warrant. Now, what's the difference? All right. So let's say, for example, they arrest an illegal immigrant who's and now the city of Chicago arrests that person. They go into the system. Whenever you're arrested, you're entered into the system. God only knows how many times I've been arrested, so I'm in the system quite a bit, as you can imagine. You're in the system. Now, typically, then, law enforcement shares that data, so ICE would get flagged, and they'd say, oh, you've got Trende Aragua Robbie in there. Well, we'd like him. Well, he's actually on our list to deport, so we'd like you to, won't do it. Not without a warrant. The guy's already in jail. You see what I mean? He's already in jail, and the federal government has... the person's on their detainer request list. So a sanctuary city means we won't cooperate unless you get a warrant, because they can't do anything about that. That's a warrant. So that's what they're playing little word games here, little word games. Oh, I mean, if there's a warrant, well, yeah, sure. Well, you have to at that point. But hey, you got you turns out this guy you picked up for carjacking, that, yeah, that's Trende Aragua Robbie. And he's on our detainer list, so we're going to come get him, okay? Nope. No, not without a warrant, you won't. So wait, you're gonna protect this guy? He's a, I just told you, he's a carjacking scumbag gang member. Yeah, no, you get a warrant. Click, hang up. Does that make sense in any way, shape, or form? Does that make sense to you? Of course not. They're trying to protect illegal immigrants because the only way the illegal immigrant is even flagged at that moment is if ICE finds out they're in the criminal system. So we're talking about criminals here. Representative Anna Paulina Luna, she's not happy. And she says she's going to look into criminal prosecution for Eric Adams, Mike Johnston, Brandon Johnson, and Michelle Wu, mayor of Boston, cut 41.
So you don't believe that banning the transfer of individuals into ICE custody for the purpose of civil immigration enforcement encourages illegal immigration into Chicago? Or how about agencies, sorry, one second, or agents not being able to stop, arrest, or detain individuals based solely on their immigration status or administrative warrant?
So we comply with all laws, local, state, and federal.
To me, after this line of questioning, it's very clear that these policies that you have all implicated are active and alive and well in your cities, are in direct violation with U.S. Title 8, Code Subsection 1324, and is a federal offense. But you all speak about a broken immigration system, and yet here you guys are aiding and abetting in that entire process. I want to be very clear about something. Open border policies, which is something that you guys are talking about, hurts people on both sides, meaning the people that are coming here illegally and then American citizens as well. I do not think you guys are bad people, but I think that you are ideologically misled, which is why, unfortunately, based on your responses, I'm all going to be criminally referring you to the Department of Justice for investigation. And as soon as I leave here, these will be going over to Pam Bondi.
I want to apologize, particularly to the men in the audience. I know that she's a little tough to look at. Representative Anna Paulina Luna, if you are streaming live on YouTube, I apologize. I should have given you a warning. It's not, you know, that's tough to look at. That's like looking at Representative DeRosa, the 82-year-old with the purple hair. So I should have said something. My apologies. Please forgive me for that. Show some Lenten mercy. By the way, you know, I'm just going to say this. I say this every year around Lent. The whole thing about eating meat, I get it. It's a little controversial. I'm just going to say, as an Italian, considering that the Vatican is in Rome, although it is a separate country, do I think at some point the Italian fisherman said something to the Pope like, scusi, you know, not for nothing, but, you know, Friday's no meat, you know, do I think that that happened at some point? Yes, I do think that happened at some point because, you know, I mean, fish, despite what Nirvana said, it's okay to eat fish because they still have feelings. They don't have feelings, but, you know, they are still alive. Anyway, I mean, you know, the Italian fishing industry. But yeah, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to, that's not my job. Certainly not my job. That's for sure. But weigh in. Let me know what you think about that issue. Controversial issue. And by the way, we're praying for the Holy Father, who's very sick. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of this Pope's policies and a lot of different things, but nevertheless, he's very sick. So we'll send our prayers to the Holy Father on this Ash Wednesday if you are a Catholic. But I apologize for not giving a warning about Representative Anna Paulina Luna. I will do better. I will try. I'll do better. I will give you a warning on Representative Ayanna Pressley, because she is actually scary to look at. She and James Comer, chairman of the committee, got into a screaming match after Pressley tried entering an article into the record today, cut 42.
Without objection, so ordered. We've put it in the record.
I haven't entered it.
You have what?
Mr. Chair, I have several articles. I need to enter them. Let me just go ahead with what the articles are. What they speak
to. What's the next article?
Let me proceed. Data from Texas shows that U.S. born Americans commit more rape and murder than immigrants.
Listen, this trend of you all trying to get thrown out of committee so you can get on MSNBC is going to end. We're not going to put up with it.
This is my procedural right as a member of this committee.
You can go. You can go with Mr. Frost and Mr. Green.
I'm reclaiming my time.
That's what you want. No, no, Ms. Presley, I've been very. I have been very accommodating to you, Mr. Subrayan.
And I take particular. Breckenridge as a survivor of sexual violence.
Go.
I will answer his record. This is my right. Thank you.
No. It is Mr. Subramaniam.
Mr. Chair.
Yo, you know the process of unanimous consent. You are not recognized.
I have several articles to enter into the record.
Mr. Subramaniam, if you don't go, we're going to recognize Mr. Timmons.
I just want to say to Dave Huber on the YouTube chat, your joke there is shameful, sir. And I'm just going to read it so that everybody knows how shameful it is. Every time I see Representative Presley, all I think of in Ned Beatty's voice is, okay, Mr. Luthor, that is wrong, sir. Mama Zioli would not be pleased. No cold cuts for you, Dave Huber, okay? No cold cuts for you. Sorry. So now I'm getting requests on the YouTube chat, Justin, if we can accommodate this. People would like to see another picture of Representative Ana Paulina Luna to see if I should have given them a better warning about her looks. And I think that's fair to accommodate the YouTube chat. So without further ado, here's that clip again of Representative Ana Paulina Luna. And I think you'll agree I should have warned you before I played that clip. So go ahead.
To an effort to bully you guys, but I do not doing that to an effort to bully you guys, but I do believe that your policies are hurting the American people, and you can make that known with the evidence that you can present to the Department of Justice. But if you guys continue doing what you're doing, you're not going to help anyone. You're going to hurt more people, and that's exactly why I'm tired of it. The American people are tired of it, and Chairman, I yield my time.
I'm sorry. My apologies. So to make it up to you, let me show you a beautiful woman. To make it up to you, this is Representative Rosa DeLauro. It's the least I can do, guys. Least I can do. Cut 40.
Evolved into just vindictiveness and self-adulation on behalf of Donald Trump. It did not address the issue of unchecked billionaires like his friend, ally, and
I mean, you know, Justin, I'm a happily married man, and I know I shouldn't have carnal thoughts on Ash Wednesday, but looking at this woman, is she technically a woman? I'm not quite sure. It's hard, you know what I'm saying, as a man, to that purple hair does something for me. Am I right? Oh, is it me or what?
The purple hair is just it's the piece de resistance that adds to the whole.
Yeah.
The whole, I can't keep the big God, jeez. A spry young 82 years old, purple hair, dressed like a first grade art teacher. The pinnacle of womanhood.
What did you say before about her outfit? You made me laugh about that. Do you remember?
Oh, how she tries to dress like an avant-garde first grade art teacher.
Yes, I think that was it. Well done. Oh, man. And Dave Huber, your joke about Lex Luthor was just, I was just wrong. I mean, am I right, Justin? That was just outrageous.
Shameful.
And now that you have that in your head, can we show Representative Ayanna Pressley again so that we can apologize to her for the Lex Luthor joke? And please not in Ned Beatty's voice. Please don't. Or Ariana Presley, I mean, please don't say Mr. Luthor, because that's just wrong. Cut 42 again.
Without objection, so ordered. We've put it in the record.
I haven't entered it.
You have what?
Mr. Chair, can I have several articles. I need to enter them. Let me just go ahead.
Miss Tesbacher! Sorry. I see. Now I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And that's just wrong. So I'm sorry. I'm apologizing. Greatest criminal mind of our time. Okay. So there was another moment today that I wanted to share with you from Capitol Hill. Let's see if I have this now. Let's see. Do I have this? No, but why don't we do this? Why don't we, since everybody's talking about the lesser Al Green with his cane stunt today, why don't we remind everybody of the time that Al Green of Texas claimed that he would invoke the, and I know I have my copy of the United States Constitution here. Oh, this is very cool, by the way. I had a call today. You know, PragerU, Michael Knowles hosts a book club for PragerU, vis-a-vis PragerU and the Daily Wire. And they reached out to me today. They're going to fly me to California next month. And I'm going to be a guest for their book club. I got to find a book. I've never read a book, but I'm going to read one at some point, and we're going to talk about it. Isn't that cool, Justin? And we go to L.A.
Yeah. I mean, you could talk about Dr. Victoria Coates' book, Battle for the Jewish State.
It's got to be somebody dead. The author has to be dead. Yeah, that's the only thing. I know. Yeah, and it's got to be something. We were thinking Federalist Papers, although apparently Ben Shapiro did that one. But something maybe I was thinking 1776, something like that. They want me to focus on the American Revolution, which I'm no historian, but that happened in, like, what, 1950, 56, something like
somewhere
that?
Somewhere around there.
Around that time. This clause in the Constitution I have here in my formerly pangolin-stained fingers here from Representative Al Green. I think it's here it is, Amendment XXVIII. Let's take a listen to the Dastardly Deeds Clause of the United States Constitution, Cut 38.
Announce that the movement to impeach the president has begun. I rise to announce that I will bring articles of impeachment against the president for dastardly deeds proposed and dastardly deeds done.
Dastardly deeds done clause of the Constitution. Dastardly deeds done. Dirt cheap. That's the official clause of the Constitution, Amendment XXVIII. Dastardly deeds done. Dirt cheap is the official clause of the Constitution. So just found that here. And that is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. By April 23rd, I'll be out of the cast March, I want to say 24th, like that. Then I got to go in a boot. I got to do some physical therapy, but hopefully by April 22nd, I should be able to be walking again, at least be able to get on an airplane and fly, as long as I don't have to fly the plane. That's the goal. So, you know, fingers crossed with that one. All right, before we go to break, though, I just wanted to play another. I told you it's a big audio day today. A lot of great audio for you. That's just the way, that's how we roll. It's how, some days it's like this. So here's another hottie for you, guys, least I can do on this Ash Wednesday. This is a crazy conspiracy theory. Why not? Throw out some wild conspiracy theories about Elon Musk, shall we? Maxine Waters, Cut 32.
Turned it over to him. And we don't know everything that Elon Musk has done with his high technology ass. Mm-hmm. We don't know what he's been accused of by some, as it may relate to the election. But we're not going to give up in investigating and finding out.
I mean, Elon Musk sold the election. Okay, so now we're back to being election deniers and conspiracy theorists. I'm sure that's completely rational and totally sane and absolutely not 100% crazy. All right, coming up in our fourth and final hour, let's get into some more of what the White House press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, had to say. More reaction from President Trump's speech. More reaction from that Supreme Court decision. Got a big fourth and final hour for you straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.